Now, I'd like you to turn with me tonight to the Gospel according to Luke and chapter 15. And we will read from verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now we trust the Lord will bless to us this well-known story from Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. I want you to see, first of all, this evening, the recklessness of this young man. And then we will consider his repentance and his return, the reception when he returned to his father. And then we will see together, as time permits, the rejoicing, for they began to be merry. You will notice that the younger boy, he said to his father, Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. I take it that this young man was brought up in a very respectable home. Brought up in a religious home. And he possibly felt that he just wanted to be free of restraint. Wanted to have more his own way. And he came to his father and he said, Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Now, if he knew the law, he certainly didn't keep the law. He was selfish and self-centered. He was only interested in himself. And you know, that is characteristic of the world today. Characteristic of men and women and boys and girls who know nothing of the grace of God. Those who are saved are marked by an interest in others. Not difficult, you know, to discern when a person has got real life and who has known something of the grace of God. We were hearing this morning about Andrew. And when he found the Savior, the first thing he did, he first findeth his own brother Simon. And you will discover that that is a mark of a true Christian. The man who knows nothing of the grace of God and of the sweetness and the joy of God's salvation, he's not interested in others. He's not interested in his neighbors. All he's interested in is himself. And that's what characterized this young man. He says, give me. All he wanted was to enjoy himself, to give himself to the pleasures of the world, to be absolutely free from parental restraint. The father divided unto them his living. Not many days after, he took his journey. You know, I think as he left home, he had pictured that this world was a very rosy place. He possibly imagined that out there was far brighter than it really was. And he decided he was going to have a good time. I want to tell you, many a young man and many a young woman has done exactly the same thing. They have just longed for that day when they could be away from meetings and away from parental restraint and away from home and where there would be no mention of the gospel and of the Bible, and they would just be able to forget about those things and enjoy themselves. I want to tell you, life is not like that, dear young friend. You will discover that this world is a very disappointing place. You will discover that this world is a very hard place. I tell you, when you have plenty of money, you will find you have plenty of friends to spend it for you. But when you discover, like this young man, that you have nothing, so often they leave you lonely and disappointed and brokenhearted. Just as they did the man on the Jericho road, wounded. Ah, many a dear young man has been brokenhearted when he discovered the emptiness of this world. I often think of a young man back in the city of Belfast. A friend of mine went in to visit the hospital. And when he came to this large ward, there were visitors at every bed, with the exception of one. And after he visited his friend, he went down to this bed where there was no visitor. And he recognized the patient. A young man who had a few years before been very popular in this world. One time he was captain of the leading football team in the city of Belfast. And often when they would win the games, he would be carried shoulder high off the pitch and the cheers would go up. But here he was a few years later and he's lonely. My friend said to him, Jim, where are all your friends? And with tears in his eyes, he said, Tom, he said, they're all gone. When he was lying ill in hospital, not one to visit him. I tell you, young friend, this world is a hard place. And you will find it's a very disappointing place. And this young man, he spent all. He wasted his substance with riotous living. Often I look at young men and young women, and I think of the tremendous potential of that life for God. And yet there they are, drifting on in the world, wasting their energy, wasting their time, wasting their talents, wasting everything on that which is to no profit. And here was a young man, and he wasted his living on riotous living, wasted his father's goods, and now he finds that there is nothing to satisfy. He would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. Oh, how much it takes at times to bring a person to their senses and cause them to look upon the realities of life as they really are. And I find that when this young man, he has nothing, he has no friends, it's then that he begins to think straight. And he began to think of his father's house. He began to think of all the provision of his father's house. If only I could get your minds occupied this evening with the provision that God has made in the person of his beloved Son. If you could only realize, my friend, the bounty of the provision. He offers the forgiveness of sins. He offers peace with God. He offers to you redemption. He offers, my friend, the possession of everlasting life. He offers to you an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away. I tell you, there is so much in Christ that I cannot fully unfold it this evening. Oh, the riches that could be yours this evening if only you came to the Saviour. And here this dear lad, he began to think of the provision of the Father's house. And he realizes that while he is sitting in his misery, and in his rags, and in his hunger, and in his dissatisfaction, away back there, what he had turned his back upon, what he thought so lightly of, there's enough and to spare. My friend, I want to tell you, there's sufficient in Christ to meet your every need. You know, I realize that so many people have a wrong idea of God's salvation and what it means to be saved. Some people think, you know, when you get saved, you go about with a Bible on your, under your arm and a long face, and you have nothing really to enjoy. But I want to tell you, I never knew what real happiness and true happiness was until the night I found the Saviour. And I want to tell you, the Christian has the best of it. The person who really knows Christ as his Saviour, and who has that assurance in their soul that their sins are forgiven and they have a title clear to mansions in the skies, they have the best of it, friend. And this evening, I want you to consider the wonderful provision that is found in Christ. Oh, think of it, my friend. It has been provided at tremendous cost in order that you and I could come into the blessing of salvation and everlasting life. My blessed Lord must go to the Calvary and there die. There lay down his life and shed his precious blood that you and I might be in heaven. And by his death, by the shedding of his blood, he has made it possible that guilty men and women, that you and I, dear friends, could be forgiven and brought nigh to God, and enter into blessings eternal, blessings innumerable, blessings, my friend, beyond what our little minds could possibly even appreciate. And as this dear lad began to consider the provision of the Father's house, he made a resolve. This is what he said, I will arise and go to my Father. And I will say I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And I want to tell you, dear friend, it would be a great night in your experience if you would just make up your mind to do the same. You know, God has given you a will. He has given you the power of choice. On the one hand is the world, on the other hand is Christ. On the one hand, you may go in for the pleasures of sin and the pleasures of the world. On the other hand, you can have the blessing of salvation and the knowledge of sins forgiven. On the one hand, my friend, you can look out to a great future of heaven and home and eternal glory. But on the other hand, if you choose the world, it will be hell and a lake of fire. Let us make no mistake about that. The Bible speaks of no third place. It is either heaven or hell for the great eternity. Oh, my friend, let me remind you this evening that your precious soul is at stake. And you have the power of choice. And here is a young man, and he made the right choice. He made up his mind that he would return, however humiliating it might have been, to go back to the Father's house. In all his need and in all his rags, He was prepared to do it. And my friend, let me tell you, if ever you are going to come into the blessing of salvation, you will have to do like this lad. You will have to humble yourself and acknowledge you're a sinner, and realizing your need, turn to God alone for salvation. But not only did he decide to do that, but he acted upon it. And that's important. You know, many a person has decided for Christ and they'll never be in heaven. I hear about people talking about deciding for Christ. I decided for Christ 4 weeks before I was saved. I made up my mind 4 weeks before I got saved. I'm going in for God's salvation, whatever the cost. And I turned my back upon the world. And I made up my mind, Christ for me. And the night I came to know the Savior, I trusted Him. I accepted Him. I received Him. And here this young man, in verse number 20, you will notice, he arose and he came to his father. Ah, dear friend, I trust that you will not only make up your mind tonight, that you would like to have this matter of salvation settled, but you will act upon it. Is there one in the meeting and you are prepared to do like this lad? To arise, to act upon it, and to, in true repentance, turn to God and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And as he was on his way, he is now returning to the Father's house. And this is a clear picture of true repentance. The young man who such a short time before had set his sails for the world, now his back is toward the world and his face is toward his father's house. He's had a right about turn. He's had a change of mind. He's on his way to blessing. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. I want to tell you, my friend, the heart of God yearns after the sinner. And he waits. In patience he waits. We were reminding the children this afternoon that God is not quick to mark iniquity. And I want to tell you that God is long-suffering. And he waits for the sinner to repent and to turn. And here is this young man. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. And he ran, he fell on his neck, and he kissed him. Listen to his confession. I have sinned. Friend, let me ask you, are you prepared to take that place this evening? Prepared to acknowledge that you're a sinner. Prepared to acknowledge your true condition before God, as lost and guilty and helpless and unworthy. For this dear lad realized the crime that he had committed and his unworthiness to be counted in the family. And he was prepared to take any place. Oh, this is a lovely spirit, dear friend. And I can tell you, every genuine born-again soul has had an experience of bowing in true humility, acknowledging I'm a sinner, unfit for the presence of God, and accepting of God's provision in the person of his beloved Son. Notice, dear friend, he receives a kiss of forgiveness, and he's brought in, and the Father says, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. On Friday evening, we were looking at Joshua, the man who stood in those filthy garments. This young man is such a contrast. He has been in a far country. He has gone into the depths of sin. And there's nobody needs to tell him that he's a sinner. The other man, Joshua, he was high priest. He was a religious man. But I want to tell you, friend, that whether we are religious or irreligious, whether we go to church or don't go to church, we need God's salvation. For we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Father says, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Let me tell you, my God is able. to do what he did for Joshua, to cause your iniquities to pass away, to cleanse those filthy stains, to remove those filthy garments, and to declare you righteous. The man who stands guilty before God, as the speaker did on the 18th of December 1949, a guilty sinner only fit for hell. And the word of God came, and I accepted it, and I trusted Christ, and my sins were forgiven. My soul was saved, and I received the blessing of everlasting life. And what does it say? They began to be merry. I want to tell you, my friend, if you accept Christ tonight, you will commence on a journey like the eunuch of old did, and go on your way rejoicing. What a blessing to be able to go home, to lay your head upon your pillow with the knowledge and the assurance, my soul is saved, my sins are forgiven. If death should overtake me, I'm going to be with Christ. If the Lord should come, I'll rise to meet him. Is there someone in the meeting and you would like to have that experience tonight, friend? You would like to have this matter settled. You're prepared to do like the prodigal, turn in true repentance and acknowledge, yes, I'm a sinner, unfit for the presence of God, and claim the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. My blessed Lord is ready to forgive you, ready to place that kiss of forgiveness on your cheek, ready to cleanse from every sin and fit you for the courts of heaven. Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. If you are prepared to acknowledge that you're a sinner, just as the prodigal, and cry, God be merciful to me, the sinner, I can tell you, friend, you can be justified even this evening.